Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Anthony Johnson, and welcome to this edition of the Anthony Johnson Show. I'm glad to be back. I was off for the last couple of weeks, but again, I'm glad to be back to talk about what's going on in the world and right now what's going on in our country. Tonight's episode of the Anthony Johnson Show is entitled The Rant. Every so often, every few months, I just go on a rant, unscripted, and just talk about the issues that we're facing today. So this evening's edition of The Rant is talking about Trump and his handling of the COVID. So let's get right into it. You know, the roots of the nation's, of our current inability to control the pandemic can actually be traced to mid-April. That is when the White House embraced overly rosy projections to proclaim victory and to move the country on, despite the fact that the world pandemic was growing and they didn't seem to care. Over a critical period beginning in mid-April, Trump and his team convinced themselves that the outbreak was fading, that they had given state governments all the resources they needed to contain its remaining embers, and that it was time to ease up on the lockdown. He had tweeted about, release Minnesota, release the different states, from shutting down and let them get back to work and let the economy start moving forward, despite the fact that those numbers of coronavirus cases was growing in America, as well as the death. So, but in doing so, Trump was ignoring warnings that the numbers would continue to drop only if social distancing was kept in place, rushing instead to restart the economy and tend to his battered reelection hopes. See, that's all Trump cared about, because he understands that now that this pandemic was affecting the economy, that was the only thing he could really run on. And because the pandemic was hurting the economy, his attitude and his minions' attitude was, we got to get America back to work. Yeah, they're going to be, basically the attitude was, yeah, people are going to die from this, but it shouldn't stop progress. It shouldn't stop the economy from being productive. A side note with that, ladies and gentlemen, the economy started being hurt before the coronavirus. All projections were talking about an increase in unemployment, with the debt growing. So our country economically was already heading for a crisis. The pandemic merely superseded it. It hastened it. And even as the Corps of State officials and health experts warned that the pandemic was far from under control, Trump went in a matter of days from proclaiming that he alone had the authority to decide when the economy would reopen to pushing that responsibility into the states. The government issued detailed reopening guidelines, but almost immediately Trump began criticizing Democratic governors who, as he stated, did not liberate their states. Kept talking about liberate your state. California, liberate your state. Asking the governor of California, I should say, liberate your state. So basically, he was criticizing all of the Democratic governors, mayors, all those elected officials from the Democratic side. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a pandemic. So whether you are a registered and voting Republican or independent or Democratic or green or progressive, it doesn't matter. As the president of the United States, you put political differences to the side and you unite the country. Donald Trump, there were two presidents, well, there was one president before Donald Trump with the racist behavior and the buffoonery of leadership that we're seeing. That was Woodrow Wilson. During the Woodrow Wilson presidency, the country had engaged with the the pandemic, the Spanish influenza of 1918 and 1920. Your president keeps calling it the pandemic of 1917. There was no pandemic in 1917, from 1918 to 1920. But Woodrow Wilson, who was a Democrat, basically same playbook. Trump, I truly believe Trump got this playbook from Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson downplayed it. He criticized Republicans at the time to say, you know, the Republican Party said, hey, slow it down. We need to practice social distancing. We need to wear a mask. We don't need to be commingling in big, you know, commingling large groups. We have to make changes. Woodrow Wilson and other Democratic governors and mayors and so forth were saying, oh, no, they're overhyping it. They're overblowing it. And he finally, like this guy, like this president, after hundreds of thousands of Americans were dead, then he thought, oh, maybe we got to start taking this serious. But I digress. Trump's bet was that the crisis would fade away, proved woefully and horrifically misguided. But an examination of the ship in April and its aftermath shows that the approach he embraced was not just a misjudgment. Instead, it was a deliberate strategy that he would stick doggedly to as the evidence mounted that in the absence of strong leadership from the White House, the virus would continue to infect and kill large numbers of Americans. Trump is also the first modern-day president that has taken, who refuses to take any responsibility for anything that is negative. You know, when 9/11, you know, happened, you know, say what you want about Bush, and there's a lot of things to say about him. I mean, up until Trump, I mean, I consider him one of the dominant presidents that ever this country had ever produced. But at least he said, hey, this was on my watch. I take responsibility. You know, when the Ebola breakout had happened in America around the world, even one death, Obama said, you know, I take responsibility for that death because I'm the president of the United States. I'm going to take the mantle and basically the quote of Harry Truman, President Truman. I'm the president. The buck stops here. The buck stops with me. I'm the president of the United States. This president does not take any type of responsibility. When he was asked quite simply, you know, do you take any responsibility? He said, no, I don't take any responsibility for it. You know, it was China's fault. But China is not responsible for the more than 144,000 deaths in this country. China is not responsible for the 4 million Americans who've tested positive for corona. And we're not even halfway done. Then he brags about 50 million tests being taken. Last I checked in America, there's over 320 million Americans. So you're not even close to testing. Then saying things idiotic like, well, the reason why there's so many cases is because our testing is so magnificent. You know, so he wanted to slow down the testing. So in essence, he's saying, oh, well, if we slow down the testing, there'll be no people having getting coronavirus, getting the COVID-19. That's like saying, you know what? Stop the testing of people who may have cancer. Stop it. Just don't do it anymore. And then you can say, guess what we just did, ladies and gentlemen? For the first time in history, we've cured cancer. Yeah. We're sure there's millions of Americans who may have it, but since we stopped testing, it will just magically disappear. It's magically fade away. You know, this guy lives in a magical alternative universe. Here are some examples of how the Trump administration put America and Americans on its current horrific course. Trump quickly came to feel trapped by his own reopening guidelines. States needed declining cases to reopen, or at least a declining rate of positive tests, but more testing meant overall cases were destined to go up, undercutting the president's push to crank up the economy. The result was to intensify Trump's remarkable public campaign against testing. And I don't say remarkable, ladies and gentlemen, like, oh, that's wonderful. Remarkably idiotic, as I was saying earlier. A vivid example of how he often waged war with science and his own administration's experts and stated policies. Trump's bizarre public statements, his refusal to wear a mask, and his pressure on states to get their economies going, again, left governors and other state officials scrambling to deal with a leadership vacuum. At one stage, Governor Gavin Newsom of California was told that if he wanted the federal government to help obtain the swabs needed to test for the virus, he would have to ask Trump himself and thank him. Who do you think he is? A president, Johnson? Andrew Johnson basically told all the Southern slave owners, if you come to the White House, kiss my butt, then I will absolve you from slaves. You get all your land and your property back. Not until early June did White House officials begin to recognize that their assumptions about the course of the pandemic had proved wrong. Even now, there are internal divisions over how far to go, having officials publicly acknowledge the reality of the situation. Once again, here we live in a society where these individuals don't even rely on the scientists. You have probably one of the foremost, you talk to anybody that's in medicine, and I'm not just talking about here in America. Jump on a plane if you can and go to Europe, you know, go to Asia. And Dr. Fauci is considered one of the most respected physicians on the planet. On the planet. And yet, this president of yours refused to just say, you know what, when we do these conferences, these press conferences, guess what? You do it. You know who that reminds me of? Colin Powell had already, within the military, was already considered a very brilliant general, very brilliant, right? He was elevated by Reagan, shocking Ronald Reagan, right? But during the war in Iraq, what did George W. Bush do? General Swarovski do? Every night, he gave the time to Colin Powell, General Powell. So every night, General Powell was updating you and I on what was going on, with Saddam Hussein and Kuwait and everything that was happening. And people were like, this guy is brilliant. And George H.W. Bush at the time, it wasn't about him. His attitude is, I want experts. I am not an expert. Even though he served in the Navy, our Air Force, because he flew, shot down a couple of enemy pilots against Japan. So, but he brought in an expert, which was Colin Powell, Schwarzkopf, and he said, you guys go out there and talk to the general public. Make it simple. And people started relying on him from Colin Powell every night. We wanted to know what was going on. How was the men and women, American men and women were doing over there? How were civilians over there were doing? How was everything going? And we had that. This president, once again, it's not about anybody but himself. He comes out there talking about stuff, and when they go ask Dr. Fauci says, well, no, that's not what that is. No, that's not true. And then you got his Trump's daughter, Ivanka, said, oh, he's trying to undermine my father. No, it's just a man, an individual who knows what they're talking about because they've only been studying medicine since they were like, I don't know, 18 years old. So he kind of knows what he's talking about. And that's what you go to. We should see less of Donald Trump and more of Anthony Fauci standing on that podium asking questions. Trump's school and COVID-19. Here are some of the issues. Well-meaning parents and school boards and governors and mayors and city council members have been working remotely to determine how to safely reopen schools. But these plans are filled with uncertainty. Many of the changes make schools unrecognizable. The coronavirus has involved conflicting information. Now we're seeing an uptick in cases. It's not what anyone wants, but the fall, September, just doesn't look like a good time to open schools. And here's why. One, illness and a Russian roulette. So according to the CDC, the risk might seem low for children, but they still get sick. And some seriously. Children and teenagers have died. Questions still surround the disease. It's not worth the risk. Maybe the situation will improve by January or even next summer. But currently, we're experiencing a pandemic, and safety is our number one priority for our children and our families. Another issue, how will the flu and COVID-19 tangle? Maybe COVID-19 alone doesn't affect children as badly as adults, but what if it's a mixture of the flu? Remember, it's the flu and it's COVID-19. That is the flu on steroids, 20 times more fatal, 20 times more fatal than the flu, which is about 0.1%. However, last January, before COVID-19 became well known, 27 children had died of the flu. Adults, we keep talking about, the children don't get it. Yes, they do get it. Oh, they don't get it as high as adults do. Okay, let's say for the argument that's the case. What about when those children come home from school and they live with grandma and grandpa and mom and dad and big sister and big brother and aunts and uncles? Will they not pass it to them? Will they not put them in harm's way? Of course they will. Lacking consensus, adults can't agree on recommendations surrounding COVID-19. So how can teachers protect children brought together in a classroom? Some students will want to wear their mask, others won't. Some students will take the virus seriously, others won't. So a lot of these kids will be coming to the school not wearing masks because their mommy and daddy and grandma and aunt and uncle say, I don't believe in this COVID, you don't have to wear no mask. Now you're putting everybody in that building at risk because you don't want your child to wear a mask. What about the students with disabilities? Yeah, because those students need more support during this time. It's wrong for school districts to shrink their idea of responsibility. Teachers and school districts should come up with unique ways to address student needs. The cost for the schools to go open back up. According to the Council of State Chief School Officers, they estimate that the schools will need $245 billion to safely open. Instead, why don't we use that money to help teachers teach remotely, ensure that all students have online connection, and plan for schools to reopen better later when the virus is contained? The virus is not contained. Let me say that again. The virus is not contained. Nowhere near contained. You can't wait. We can't wait another 6 months to a year till we get this thing under wraps. You have a president who has failed mightily, because had he done what he was supposed to do, every scientist from the Nobel laureate, from Scree Rock, from Thurious and Lehigh, has said if this president had acted effectively, intelligently back in March, we wouldn't have these issues right now. This is the Trump virus. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, this woman is a train wreck, an absolute imbecile who should have never, ever been appointed Education Secretary. If Joe Biden wins, the first thing, he should make sure that he sends a woman to her office, to Betsy DeVos' office, pick her up by the back of her shirt and make sure she's tossed out the door. You know, we'll fumigate and send your stuff to you. Take everything out. This woman is the most inept education secretary this country has ever produced. She's also been diverting public school monies to private schools. She absolutely hates public education. Absolutely hates. That's what made her and Donald Trump say, oh, well, these schools don't open back up. We're thinking about not giving them federal money. This is the stupidity of both of them, okay? One, neither one of them has that power. Money, education money, is basically taken care of through Congress. So you can't, and that money is already earmarked to go. So you can't stop it. You can't hold it up. She has shown her ineptness and her contempt for public education at a time when students and teachers need federal support more than ever. Even when it was explained to her that the majority of the people that's going to get hurt by this are schools, public schools that are impoverished communities, families that are impoverished, they're the ones that's going to be hurt by it. She doesn't care. The president doesn't care. Are we not tired yet? Have we not experienced enough death and enough sorrow in this country? Or do we need more? I guess 145,000 people dying from COVID, that's not enough. We need some more. You know, give me a number. You know, so I won't have to keep coming on the Anthony Johnson show talking about this stuff. Give me a number, you know, that you'll say eventually, okay, something has to give. 300,000, 400,000, 2 million, 20 million. Because at the rate that we're going, we're heading down that path. We're right down that road. We have an election coming up in a couple of months. And everybody is going to have to get out there and vote. If you think Donald Trump has done a great job, if you think he's done a phenomenal job with this, then we already know who you're going to vote for. If your attitude is, well, I didn't like Hillary or Donald Trump, so I stay home, you pull that stunt again, then you get what you paid for. So if death starts coming to your door, creeping at your door, starts knocking on your door, don't blame anybody but yourself. Don't blame anybody but yourself. Because we just don't have a presidential election coming up, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, no. We have mayoral races coming up, elections coming up around this country. We have city council members coming up. We have state rep elections coming up. All this is in November. So if your attitude is, oh, well, you know, I ain't voting for neither Joe Biden or Donald Trump. I can't stand them. All right. Are you going to vote in your local election? Are you going to vote for your state officials? Because remember, a lot of these individuals who are running at the city and state levels, a lot of them share the beliefs of Donald Trump, that we are overhyping this pandemic. Oh, we're making too much out of it. You know, send our kids back to school, doesn't matter no more. Because it's not about our kids getting a good education. No. Ladies and gentlemen, if that was the case about our kids getting a good education, inner city schools still wouldn't be getting between $8,800 and $10,000 per student. And in their affluent neighborhoods, those kids are getting $20,000 or more. So it's not about that. It's not about our kids. Let's stop the buffoonery. If it was truly about our children, so-called schools and impoverished communities would be getting the same type of money. And then you talk about sending these kids back to school. You have schools in the city of Philadelphia right here that got more asbestos than the law would allow. So now you want to send kids back into the school where the asbestos is still running rampant. You know, they don't have the bathrooms aren't even kept clean on a consistent basis. And you're saying, oh, we can send our kids back to school and with this COVID pandemic and everything will be fine. That'd be all right. Are you serious? Are we really having this discussion? And people say, well, it's to get the economy moving and so forth. Well, a lot of people are working from home. A lot of people are working from home. And if your child has to be at home, they're going to be in school. They'll still be in school. And say, well, these parents can't work. A lot of companies are trying to create ways where people can still work from home. And for those who can't, I'm not going to stand and tell you it's not going to be easy, because it's not going to be easy. But if my question is, do you want your child in a school that doesn't even have issues, they haven't even taken care of the asbestos issues, issues that's keeping the bathrooms clean, keeping the school clean. Now you're asking them to come in and be amongst each other with a pandemic. Some kids wearing their masks, others not. Parents sending their kids saying, you don't have to wear a mask. This is America. You can do whatever you want. So they don't care about, you know, they don't care about what happens to their kids, obvious. But if they don't care about their kids, you think they give a rat's behind about your kids? No, they don't. But the majority of Americans have to say, we're not accepting this. We're not accepting this behavior. We're not accepting this foolishness. And it really starts. And in a societal level, it starts with our so-called elected official. The President of the United States is someone that's supposed to unite America. This president from day one should have been wear a mask. And yeah, I may hate wearing them, but anytime I'm out in public, I'm going to have a mask on to show strength and leadership so people can say, hey, I might not like that guy. I might not vote for him, but I see what he's trying to do. You know, we're all in this together. First president, modern president, that does not unite. He's divided this country. There's so much racial tension in this country. It's horrific. You can go at every major calamity that's happened in this country under a president. They were putting away, they put aside their racist behavior. They put aside their misogynistic behavior. They put aside their political divisiveness and said, it's not about me. It's not about our political party. It's about the United States of America. It's about the people. It's about this country. And you would have thought that this guy who goes and hugs the flag, which is creepy in itself, talks about how much he loves America, calls NFL players sons of bitches for taking kneels and disrespecting the flag, which has been proven time and time again. It doesn't. Disrespecting the soldiers, which time and time proves it doesn't. The overwhelming majority of those who've served in the military have said time and time again, I don't have a problem with Colin Kaepernick or anybody else taking a knee during the Star Spangled Banner or whatever else is going on. That's not disrespecting the flag. That's their, and if it was, it's still their right. My father, if he was alive today, would say, well, you know what? I may disagree with it, but you know what? That's his right. And I'm glad I fought for it, because if I do something that other people don't like, guess what? It's my freedom. This is what we fight for every day. This is what many of them went out and died for, to make sure that we have these freedoms. This president has no leadership. And the bottom line is that you go out and vote for him and he wins. If you think it's bad now, then it's only going to get worse. Now, before we wrap up the show, you know, as I've said time and time again, I'm not a fan of Joe Biden's either. But at least I know that if Joe Biden wins, he's going to bring some normalcy back to this country. Because right now, there is nothing normal about this. And I truly believe that if we had a president who did more uniting us instead of dividing us, I think we would be handling this better. I think a lot of people out here that's going into these stores, the Karens, you know, tearing up supermarkets, tearing up the dentist's office, tearing up, you know, the libraries. I think if you had a leader like we had in Obama, a leader like we had for that brief moment with George W. Bush, that leader that we had in a Ronald Reagan and H.W. Bush, I think if you had leaders like that, I think we would be able, this would be more tolerable. This pandemic would be more tolerable because we would all as a nation be on one page. We're not on one page. Many of us are, but then there's still a lot of people that's not. I end this show with this edition of We Can Be the Outcome. We are at a point in this country where a pandemic is waning. Pure and simple. America isn't prepared. Who are we kidding? America was never prepared to handle this pandemic. A lack of leadership in a time of crisis will do that to a country. To Trump, I ask, how do you call yourself the President of the United States? You're literally getting Americans murdered with your failure to act decisively during this pandemic. You're more concerned about the preservation of statues of dead and traitorous Confederate generals than preserving the lives of the living. Your failures are costing the lives of millions of Americans, and you don't care. Not even for your rabid supporters. Wanted, effective leaders, an effective president is needed. Good night.